Chapter 45. Statues and a House. There was less rocking than Xian had expected. They were traveling forwards at a terrifying pace, the wind in his hair, and yet the cart was nearly completely stable. Not a single piece of glass rattled against another while Jin's stride utterly consumed the ground in front of him. If there was one thing Xian never thought would happen, it was to be carted around by a cultivator. But ever since Jin had shown up, the improbable seemed to become rather more likely to happen. He had traveled this fast only once before, under decidedly more dire circumstances, in a vastly more uncomfortable ride. There had been horses screaming, soldiers shouting, and arrows thunking into wood. Instead of a freckled maid shouting obscenities, an archivist screaming in a much higher pitch than said maid, and himself praying to whatever gods would listen, Brother Che was looking mostly bored, while Yun and Go argued about what meat tasted best. Jin occasionally interjected over his shoulder. Yun Zhen had championed rabbit, Go Zhen beef, and Jin chicken. "Chicken? But it tastes so bland," Go Zhen scoffed. "Bland? It has a lovely, subtle flavor, and it takes seasoning so well," Jin shot back. "And fried? Fried chicken is the ultimate dish." "All of you youngsters are wrong. Pork is best," Brother Chu derided them. "Sausage and dumplings are what a man needs to grow big and strong." He flexed his muscles, bulging from a lifetime at the forge. Both the Song brothers went quiet at the declaration, but glared mutinously. Jin just laughed. Even into his 40s, Chu's muscles rivaled Jin's in size, and Chu wasn't a cultivator. Xian liked deer himself. Both his late wife and daughter made excellent roast venison. He absently watched the passing trees, remembering the speeding carriage. No evidence needed to get to the court the next day, else their heads would roll. The lack of urgency was letting him enjoy the speeding ride. Court intrigue was hazardous to one's health, doubly so when you got involved by accident. He shook his head to rid himself of the memories. Even the years couldn't make him think fondly on those terrifying days, though the times that came after had more than made up for them. The journey to Jin's house, which was nearly the same distance away from their village as Hong Yao Wu was from Verdant Hill, took mere hours instead of days. And Jin wasn't even winded. He looked a little nervous, shooting glances repeatedly at Xian, but it was understandable. What man wasn't nervous about showing his future father-in-law his home? The gate to his land was large and sturdy, with a maple leaf and the amusing "Beware of Chicken" sign displayed prominently. The Song brothers and his own daughter had thought the sign was hilarious. And there, too, was the aforementioned chicken. He had seen it before at his village, briefly, shrouded in dusk on the rooftop. In the bright light of the day, his true coloration was revealed. His plumage was more vibrant than any painting Xian had seen, including in the palace of the Pale Moon Lake City. His red neck and breast looked like fire captured in plumage. The blues were like the most perfect of sapphires, the green on his tail, pristine jade. His talons and spurs shone like silvery metal, and his comb was a deeper red than what the noble ladies wore on their lips. The fox fur vest he wore paled in comparison to his magnificence. The rooster's gaze was stern, but not judgmental, a proud guardian. The rooster bowed to them as Jin and the cart passed the threshold, welcoming them into Jin's faram. The Song brothers bowed back as much as they could, sitting down. Chu started to bow, and then his eyes caught on something else.
"What the hells?"
he gaped.
"We didn't tell you about the general that commands the winter,"
Yun Zhen asked cheekily. Xian started laughing. Mei Ling had told him, but it was one thing to hear about the massive golem made out of snow, and another to see it. It was a happy-looking fellow with a big dumb grin and a giant hat colored black with ashes. It was a creation that would have taken their entire village a week, and Jin had apparently built it in a day for the fun of it. Jin continued his walk, bypassing a small shack and continuing down the hill to a small river, until Jin suddenly started to slow, his mouth open in shock, and a bright blush forming all over his freckled cheeks.
"Tigur."
What came out of Jin's mouth was almost a whine. Go Zhen and Yun Zhen burst out laughing, and Chu sounded like he was choking on something. Xian turned from the general and looked forward. There was a little cat, still a kitten really, sitting in between a bunch of ice sculptures and looking like it had just managed to slay 1,000 mice. It bowed to Jin. A bunch of ice sculptures depicted Jin, nude, in various martial poses, trampling on a giant rat, staring boldly forwards, his hands on his hips. One even had him in a one-handed handstand, flipping over a boar. Xian was honestly impressed by that one. How had the spirit beast managed to balance it? And the detail was incredibly fine in some areas, while others were a bit off. Amateurish compared to the sculptures he had seen in the palace, and some of the anatomy was questionable. Some parts were too big, and on other sculptures they were too small. But it was all honestly impressive, considering they were made by a cat.
These are very nice, Tiguer,
Jin managed to get out, ignoring the cackles behind him. The kitten preened at the praise, rubbing up against Jin's legs.
But how about you diversify your sculptures? It'll make you better to have other things to practice.
The kitten considered, and then nodded. She hopped up onto his shoulders and lay atop his head. The Song brothers were gasping for air, and Cho had begun crying. The kitten glared at them.
I'm sure they're just overcome with emotion at your beautiful sculptures, Jin said, his eye twitching and his face crimson. Now, how about I put these in the ice room so they don't melt?
The kitten slid its way into the front of his shirt and yowled happily.
Is the weapon accurate?
Cho managed to choke out, tears streaming from his eyes. He pointed at the sculpture's bits, one of the parts that Xian had a feeling was not correct. The kitten looked confused by the question, looking to where Cho was pointing, and then to the actual sword that sculpture was holding. It nodded its head. Jin's face screwed up, and actual steam started to billow off the mortified boy's shoulders. Cho howled, doubling over.
Looks like Mei Mei is going to have her work cut out for her.
Gozhen, caught in his mirth, leaned back so far he fell out of the cart, thumping onto his back and continuing to gasp for breath. For a moment, Xian was worried that even Jin's patience would have limits, especially with such a topic. Jin was clearly embarrassed, but he seemed to find the whole thing at least a little funny. He took the laughter in stride, without retaliation. An even temper, Xian approved.
Well, make yourselves at home. Yeah,
Jin managed, sighing at the sculptures. His hands spasmed briefly, like he wanted to do away with the embarrassment. The moment passed. He quickly, but carefully, collected the sculptures and began carting them off. Xian took a good look at the front of the house. The style was unfamiliar to him. Yun Zhen had originally said that the house was bigger than Xian's own, and he had been impressed. His home was the largest in Hongyao Wu, though a good portion of it was storage for the medicine his family created. The actual livable section was a bit more modest, but it was no hovel. This, however, was a veritable manor. There were more foundations roughly marked with stakes outside. The other completed buildings were an outhouse, what Xian assumed to be a bathhouse, and a large stone oven. It was not a walled compound. Instead, there was what looked like a veranda surrounding the entire house, with a tiled roof extending past the outer walls.
I think he might be compensating for something,
Gozhen snickered, gesturing towards Jin's lower half. Yun and Chu laughed along with him, while Jin rolled his eyes. They bundled the glass into the house, the rest of their party having stopped laughing for long enough to actually do some work. They were greeted at the door by Pipa, the sow brightening up and bowing politely when she saw Xian. The entrance was on a slightly lower level than the rest of the house and covered with easy-to-clean slabs of stone. The Song brothers took off their wet shoes at the entrance, and he did the same, stepping onto the lacquered and waxed hardwood floors. They were so smooth, they were almost slippery. He shuffled his feet, and not a single splinter threatened his socks. They were also a lot warmer than Xian had been expecting. Gozhen was allowed to set down his load, and then he was promptly bowled over by Chunqi, the boar excitedly nosing him. Xian took the opportunity to look around the house. The main room was warm and inviting, with a divider and a bed, as well as a warm hearth. There were several large cushions around the fire, and a table that had what looked like a blanket under its top to warm the legs of those who sat under it. Xian would have to steal the idea. It looked comfortable. There were several half-finished projects as well. One was what looked like some gears from a water wheel, each of them with a different number of teeth, and one that had been snapped in half. Strange-looking stone that almost seemed to be poured into its shape. A box filled with empty frames that could be slid in and out. If this had been the entirety of the house, Xian would have been satisfied. But there was also a large kitchen, another storage room, and an entire second floor, as well as the famous river room, complete with a gluttonous carp. It eyed them excitedly as they entered, and then realized that they didn't have any food. It made a noise that sounded suspiciously like "pheh," and went back to sleep. Yao Che nodded in appreciation as he looked around the house.
Well, I certainly approve. It will be a lot of work, but I see no reason why we can't get this done by the time the snows melt. A week or two to finish? Jin is cutting it close.
A week or two? Jin's voice called out as he entered. I was thinking a day or two, less if we hustle. All the flooring is cut, it just needs to be put in, and we should be able to get through all the windows today.
Yao Che raised an eyebrow, and then seemed to remember he was dealing with a cultivator.
Well, if you say so, I want to see this when it's finished. Song brats, get to work!